Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, April 17th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is the man that bleeds black and gold, Greg Miller.
That's me, Blessing. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You're looking really great.
So are you. I'm glad you took my Slack message to heart, because of course yesterday, during Nick's Last of Us stream, we had a conversation live on the chat with everybody there on Twitch, and we decided that productivity was slipping at Kinda Funny, and we had to blame the fact that everybody's wearing sweatpants and shorts and just chilling out. And so we made the decree that from now on, when you work from home, I want you in dress casual. I want you to be able to go to church in this outfit. So I said,
I won't be bullied. Not one goddamn moment. I'll wear whatever I want. And I'll have whatever pet I want on my side.
The way Kevin's dress is actually worrying me.
Kevin's like, black tank top, if you're not, you know.
Yeah, Kevin looks like a side character from Ozarks right now with how he's dressed.
Well, no, you and I look like we're the main characters in Final Fantasy, and he's one of the NPCs who's going to give us a quest. Just no textures.
He's like, can you find my three cats? They're spread out through the city. Kevin, how are you doing? Because since you're dressed down, I imagine that you're like on the lazy side of things.
First of all, I don't like this dress down business. All right, I'm comfortable is what I am. I'm wearing my PJs.
You're extra comfortable today.
Yeah,
I won't be bullied.
I won't have some adult come in here and be like, "Oh, you got to dress prettier." All right,
Kevin, especially that Nick Scarpino. It's time to get you back on a roll here. We need to get you back in season, right? I don't know if you've been seeing the president's tweets. Everybody's about to be liberated. We're all about to go back to work.
Jesus.
So it's like, clearly, I don't want Monday to roll around and it's like we can go back in the office.
No, I got a pen too, all right? I could sit here with
my pen.
But look
how professional I look.
You do look professional.
Put a suit and tie on any old guy.
I stand here with a pen.
I left my water bottle on the table over there. Do you guys mind if I take
off? I'll fill time.
Yeah. I am sitting here with a pen, and people are wondering, where is he going to put that pen?
Where are you going to put that pen, Kev?
You'll find out later.
Oh, Jesus.
Look, he's not wearing pants. What is he wearing, trunks?
Whoa, bless me.
What?
Whoa. We said church appropriate. We said slacks. Are you wearing swim trunks?
Oh, this is awkward.
You just blew yourself up, son. What are you doing over there?
Snap. Oh, I mean, listen, I didn't think you guys would see you from the waist down. That's my mistake.
Yeah, you screwed up.
I kind of forgot him. Wearing shorts.
Now you're telling me you're going to be only at 50% on this show. I needed you 100%. I wanted you to dial it in. You're at 50%.
Today's stories include a robot gaming companion, Nintendo stock thriving, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. I try to change the topic so that I don't get called out as we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Josh Pretty is happening tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time over on kindafunny.com/Josh Mukuga. Is that a link we have now?
That's the link we have right now, because I have the login details to get in there. That's right, everybody. Of course, Josh Mukuga, you know him from Eating History, all the Drunk Extra live streams, is doing a Josh Pretty special tonight with me, Tim, and Nick, a reunion/rematch to see if, now that, of course, Josh isn't so drunk, he's showing Nick all the answers, I can once again repeat. Because, of course, I should have won the first Josh Pretty of all time for Kinda Funny. Lost at the end for a fucking Melissa McCarthy heat question. Are you fucking kidding me? And then the next time around, crushed him. Just destroyed him. And I'm going to destroy him again tonight.
When am I going to get an invite to one of these Josh Pretty things? Oh, I feel like I can perform well. I feel like when it comes to trivia, that's where I shine.
Here's the thing is, I think Josh is desperate for attention and guests, so I will gladly take you on one-on-one. You know what I mean? You want to get out there.
I was going to challenge like Joey and Barrett and Andy.
Oh, okay. Same by the bell, the new class rules. Okay, I like that. Yeah, okay. The undercard. I like that. We'll talk. We'll make it
all
happen.
All the dumb kids. I get it. That's a good strategy.
Exactly.
Just make yourself look better.
Thank you.
All
to
the questions are about graffiti, and Cool Greg just cleans your clock.
Oh yeah, Cool Greg just destroys us. All the questions.
Wait, whoa,
are about
whoa, 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 whoa! This raises a great point. Actually, Kevin, go to Blessing's Twitter.
Oh no!
Watch this goddamn dance video. Did you see this?
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do. Kevin, did you see this?
I don't know what the hell you're talking. I don't use Twitter.
Go to Blessing's Twitter, or do you need me to get it for you?
No, I got it. What is it, Blessing?
It's Blessing Junior.
Oh, there you go.
Just all my first name.
And then, show this video of him dancing. You'll know when you see it. It's right there, 14 hours ago. Show this to the people.
Give me 1 second. Calm down. Everybody calm down.
I can't calm down when I get a great idea. All right? Now I got a great idea here called watching a video.
Why is this not working? Hold on. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
To preface, this was when I was 20 years old.
Hold on.
I'm only 25, so it's not like a decade ago or anything. But like,
just half a decade.
Just half a decade ago. This was... Like, people were doing, like, the trend thing yesterday on Twitter and social media where they're putting up pictures of themselves as when they were 20. And so I did that. And in one of the pictures, I'm like teaching a dance class. And there's someone that replied, and they were like, we got to see you dance. Yeah, I was teaching a dance class. I used to, like, I did a lot of dancing in college and high school.
Did you do it in a serious way?
I mean, you're about to see.
No, but I mean, like, in your heart, did you believe in it?
Yeah. I watched a lot of Step Up, Kevin.
All right.
Who didn't?
Yeah, you did. All right, here we go.
That's a good point. Step Up to the Streets, the best one. I was way more limber back then. I mean, I'm still limber, but
how much did you do that? And I guess I saw a whole bunch of, when I was like, who the fuck are you in response to this? A lot of people are like, he did it at prom, or he did it somewhere else, at PAX or something. Yeah. Did you do it both places?
I've danced at, like, pretty much half of the nerdy, like, events that I've been to. And so, like, I've danced at Kinda Funny Live 2 and 3. And I danced at Kinda Funny Prom, because it was literally a prom.
Sure.
Pixel Brave probably got footage of all of it. But, yeah, there are, like, certain moments at PAX where I busted a move. What up, Kevin?
I mean, that kid was pretty good, but where are you? Oh, covering you up. There you go. Wait, where are you?
No, that was him. That is him.
That was me.
That is him.
What?
In the blue shirt. That's Blessing.
That was you? Yeah.
He's popping and locking.
Why do you look so more, like, tighter and muscular?
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
I mean, I look at you now, and I don't think you could be able to do this. And then I see you do it in this video, and I'm like, holy shit, that's what it means. This is, like, who the fuck are you? Because I know you're the guy who didn't want to move his desk around, has nothing on his walls. You know what I mean? Like, that's what mean by this.
I'm just rusty. You know, I don't, like, not dance anymore, but I just don't do it as much. Because it was very much like a passion kind
of
thing.
That's like a way of life, yeah.
And yeah, back then, it was a way of life, kind of like the Step Up movies. But nowadays, I still want to dance more. Like, when this whole pandemic is over, I plan to go to more dance events, because it used to be the way that I would keep in shape, and that would be my workout, is dancing.
Blessing.
This isn't a joke. Is this why you think you've been playing so much Beat Saber? Is that one of the reasons?
It's one of the reasons I love Beat Saber, is because I love moving in that way, and because of how, like, rhythmic it is. And it's the reason why I think, like, it's the reason I think I'm pretty good at Beat Saber, is because I already have, like, that muscle memory down of just moving to the rhythm. And so, yeah, no, 100% those things are linked.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank Blessing, you. Did you have someone in your, like, posse that would be there, like, as kind of a, what was it called? The guy that's in the background going, like, yeah,
hype
you
man.
Got
hype
him.
Man.
Hype man. Did you have a hype man?
Yeah, I had a couple hype men, yeah.
Okay.
When you start dancing again, when this is all over, can I come be the new hype man?
No. Fuck him.
Oh, 100%.
I'll be a better hype man.
No,
because he's always going to be center stage, man. You know what I mean?
Oh, we can both do it, Kev.
Well, as long as I'm top billing.
So it's Big Kev Dog and
it's Blessing featuring Big Kev Dog and the man from Mizzou or whatever we decide.
Perfect, I like that. Yeah, that's good too.
All right, I'm in.
All right, we figured it out. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad, Al Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Hymns and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A Baker!
Please tell me he froze, because it looks like he froze there. And please tell me that's how it looked.
Yeah, look, at a certain point in the middle of that, for us, I don't know how it worked out in the end product, but Kevin's mic just cut, and it sounded like he just, like, Baker's dozened into another universe.
Which is gone.
Which is excellent. Story number one, Sony has patented a robotic gaming companion. I'm pulling this from Jordan Alleman at IGN, who writes, Sony has patented an autonomous robotic gaming companion that sympathizes with the user and reacts to their emotions during gameplay. A listing found on the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website depicts the robot as a fuzzy little guy who sits next to you on the sofa while you play games. It has no mouth, but a pair of endearing eyes and cute boots, and is said to be able to talk and empathize with the player, as well as move its arm, leg, or neck in reaction to the player's emotions. The patent mentions that ideally the robot would be autonomous to the point where it could sit beside you on the sofa of its own accord, rather than being placed next to the user. It's also noted that the robot could also play games with the player, the example given being the companion controlling the opponent team of a baseball game being played by the user. The patent describes the robot including a feeling deduction unit, an object control system that can detect and act upon the user's emotions. The unit can evaluate feeling indexes such as joy, anger, love, and surprise, and will be complemented by a biological sensor that can track the user's heart rate and sweating state. It doesn't sound too far from another Sony patent for a controller attachment that measures biological responses. In the summary of the object, the patent notes that the robot has been created to usher in a joint viewing experience in order to motivate users to play games and react to them in absence of a face-to-face relationship with another person. Sony explains the robot's function in more detail later in the patent, quote, "It is expected that the user's affinity with the robot is increased and motivation for playing a game is enhanced by the robot viewing the gameplay next to the user and being pleased or sad together with the user. Further, regarding not only the game, but also a movie, a television program, or the like, it is expected that the user may enjoy content more by viewing the content with the robot as compared to the case of viewing it alone," end quote. The patent explains that the robot has a love index, which will be affected by how the user speaks to the robot in moments of tension. When asked to be charged, if the player doesn't charge the robot quickly, it will evaluate the player that the player does not love it at all, or love it, and will react in a similar fashion if it's kicked around instead of being stroked, or if the user tells the robot that it's being noisy. If it feels unpopular, it will no longer empathize with the player during gameplay, a conscious action made to make the user reflect on their attitude and treat the robot more kindly in the future. It can also help to improve life rhythm and will tell users to go to bed. Greg, I know everything I just read sounds like a parody and sounds like it's something I pulled out of somebody who's trying to troll us or punk us.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, but this is a Sony patent that was just discovered by IG. I don't know if it was discovered by IG, but that was just discovered. Greg, what's your take on all
Stop.
This?
Stop. Stop doing this. What are you doing? Stop. Like, you know, it's very clear they keep saying Sony patent, right? Not PlayStation. This is Sony, you hope, making some weird ass fucking toy. Who would want this toy? Now, and I know you're going to say, well, of course, Greg, kids would want this toy. No, they wouldn't. Because you know what's going to happen is little Timmy's not going to play with it, and then the thing's going to fucking guilt them, and then Timmy's going to cry, and mom's got a fucking $400. And look at this goddamn thing. Now, granted, it's just a drawing. They can put it over there. And they got a fucking pillow pal over there with eyeballs. It's a cloud of eyeballs. It's going to tell when Timmy's sweating. That's what this thing's going to do? And it's going to make him feel guilty when he doesn't play the goddamn game? And then it's going to tell him to go to bed. This thing just sounds like a yak, 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 nag. You know what I mean? And I don't need it in my life right now. All right. I already got one of those. I don't need somebody else yak, yak, nagging at me all the time.
Fun experiment, though, Miller. We get two of them, right? We treat one very, very nice, treat the other one really badly. You know what I mean? See how that goes. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't mind having a control in a test group. This strikes me as somewhere between. It's like this, it's a Furby and it's a Teddy Ruxpin and it's a Wonder Book, right? And it's like, I understand what PlayStation's trying to do here. Sony. I understand what Sony's trying to do here. And what if we did make the next Furby, the next Tamagotchi, the next like hit thing that all the kids would want or whatever. But this just sounds like a tremendous waste of time and money. And like, don't get me wrong, that's why the dreamers win, and they're gonna put it out and they're gonna put it into a cute teddy bear or wiener dog form, and everybody's gonna buy it and love it, and then it's a completely different ball of wax. But it seems like the games you'd be playing with it on the TV would be, I read this as a kid's toy, so basic that no kid would really want to play those things. So then it's just what, a $400 stuffed animal people are walking around with that they aren't actually using the right way for or doing the right thing.
Yeah, like you say that this is Sony and not PlayStation, but they do link it a lot to video game experiences in this patent, which is an interesting thing. Like the idea of alone, right? Playing they reference a baseball game, playing MLB The Show against this robot Furby creature that's sitting next to me. In theory is weird. In practice is also weird. Like this strikes me as. Especially coming off of like coming off of the controller reveal, which we all said looked like something out of Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
Even though like it's still the controller still looks cool, but then also coming off of like the Mark Cerny PS5 conference, which also felt like a futuristic thing. I feel like there's somebody at Sony who played Watch Dogs 2 and was like, "This is the future. This is what we need to strive toward." This feels like the latest step of that.
That's why patents always on this sense make sense. And we always talk about that you know, Sony and companies in general file so many different patents for things that they won't look like this in their final form, or they're not going to happen at all, but it's an idea they want to chase. Like, obviously, you know, AI and more interactive experiences, that's a huge thing. We talk about Alexa all the time, right? We talk about it. I thought when I read the headline on this, I originally assumed it was going to be more in vain with the patent we saw for the AI assistant for PlayStation, right? They talked about that they patented of like, hey, you know, whatever, PlayStation, I'm stuck at this point. What do most people do? And then it can either send you to DLC or it can send you actually like 56% of players did this kind of crap. I thought it was going to be in that vein of it. But then you read through this and it's clearly a toy, right? Like, I mean, I thought, you know, you're going to have this autonomous thing. And when you start it and you start reading about it, it's like, okay, cool. It's going to be like an amiibo size thing or a statue size thing that'll be there and be like Alexa and have something to do with that. But then when you get into it, it's like, it's going to check on how much sweat it's going to have. It's going to be, you know, it'll be acting like it's the opponent in the game I'm playing. Like, it starts getting so weird that I just don't see this being, it's a tale of two PlayStations and Sony's, I guess, where on the one hand, I see this being Sony themselves putting out this consumer electronic and having it be that it's got its own dongle you plug into the TV or app or whatever, that then kids can play games with it. And they're not full-blown games, so they're not that great of games, and so they never get past that launch hardware. Then on the other side of the coin, I can see them being so brain dead as to say that, no, this does tie into PlayStation. It is a Wonder Book situation. It is this thing you buy, and they get three of those games out and never do anything with it again. And it just doesn't sell, and it doesn't move.
Yeah, and it strikes me more as that. And I wonder, like, I'm not necessarily at the place where I think this is going to make it to market based on if, once again, in they're talking about it, right? They're referencing video games quite a bit, even though they do reference music, or not music, they reference movies and TV too. Like, this seems like just a general robotic partner, like robotic play toy partner.
Yeah.
Tamagotchi thing. But yeah, like, in reference to the ways in which this thing interacts with video games, I can't imagine this makes it to market, because it seems like it muddies the message. It seems like if this came out, let's say 2021, after the PS5, right, and like, yeah, this was like one of the leading accessories for it, one of the leading accessories for it that they go forward and market, right? Like, I feel like that is such a weird foot to such a weird step to step, yeah, forward with for the PS5, which is this thing that you've so far marketed as like this piece of technology, right? You've talked about the SSD, you've shown off the controller and talked about the adaptive triggers and like all these different things. You had Mark Cerny talk about game design and loading screens and how like games can be designed differently around an SSD and around the advanced hardware. You've had Mark Cerny talk about the ears and the HRTF, yeah, oh yeah, and all that
send
stuff,
those
right?
Photo like, of the ears. Send those photos of the ears to Mark.
Yeah. And like, you know, once we get the PS5 event, we're going to get a clearer voice for what their marketing vision is for the PS5. But right now, it doesn't seem like their marketing vision is going to be something that is like I don't know, man, childish or like have fun.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 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 for
it,
sure.
It doesn't.
For sure.
It does. The PS5 seems like it will be marketed as like a piece of gaming technology that is going to be gamers first.
And now we are jumping. I mean, and granted, because it's going off a patent and everything else, and I like the direction we're taking it. We are jumping to a conclusion that it'd be a PlayStation 5 thing. Like, it could go the opposite.
That's a good point.
PlayStation 4s aren't ubiquitous by any means in homes, but there are, what, more than 106 million of them out there. So that does mean that there are 106 million PlayStation 4s that are out there, are installed, and are owned by people who are parents or about to become parents and probably don't want to turn around and invest the money necessarily in a PlayStation 5. And so at that point, it's such a weird idea, and it sounds like the beginning of every fucking Chucky movie or whatever, where they're making the doll smarter and then it just becomes real, that Miley Cyrus Black Mirror episode. But again, it comes back to this whole thing of, it all sounds childish, sure, and that's great, because I do remember having Teddy Ruxpin. You're too young for a Teddy Ruxpin, right?
I never had one. OG, I know what one. It is, though.
Like, that was a huge deal, and I loved having him. I loved that he would talk to me, and I loved playing the tapes in him, and you wished he was more interactive, right? So I get all that. It's just this last section where it talks about the love index and how like it's going to understand if it's being neglected or if the user tells the robot it's being too noisy. If it feels unpopular, it will no longer empathize with players during gameplay. Like, so what age demographic are we shooting for with this? Because again, teaching kids empathy is great and all, but I don't think the toy, like you end up ignoring every toy. You end up putting every toy down, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's a living thing that you can't get rid of and you're stuck
for
15 years, you know, then you have
Is he always just on your lap? Is he on your lap every show?
Well, no, not every show, but lots of shows.
Okay.
Depends. I think it's been colder this week, so he's been more wanting to go huddle with me. Otherwise, he sunbathes over here on the bed.
Yeah, if this thing makes it to market, then I want to see what their marketing is for it and how they talk about it. Because yeah, it's hard to gauge from a patent where they are like them leading off with saying, or not leading off, but them mentioning like playing a baseball game feels peculiar, because that like kids play baseball games for sure, but
sure.
That seems like a very nondescript, like you wouldn't put that if this is a commercial for a thing for kids, I don't think MLB The Show is the thing you put in the commercial. I think you put like Knack or Fortnite or something and like have that be.
But that's again, like I just think you're jumping to, and I understand why, this conclusion that it's going to tie in directly to the existing PlayStation ecosystem, when I definitely think this is a standalone Sony consumer electronic that's, you know, making shitty video games. But let's say I'm wrong and it is a PlayStation thing. It will be, and I'm going to call it the Buddy Index or whatever, right? The Buddy Index is going to come with a disc of games, and then there's going to be downloadable ones you can pick for as a parent for $7 to $10 a pop, right? And it's going to be like the most basic of like, it's a home run derby, you know what I mean? And you're like hitting X on it with just a swing every so often. It's like strike, you know what I mean? And then
gotcha.
The stupid buddy's like, great job, buddy, if it likes you. Otherwise, it's like, you fucking deserved it.
Greg, Jamie S. writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Greg. Sony has patented a sympathy robot gaming companion, and I'm highly amused. I know we often never see patents come to fruition, but let's pretend this thing becomes real. Do you get one? What do you name it? Do you listen when it tells you to go to bed? And why is Sony so interested in tracking our emotions? Thank you for reading. Happy Friday. I would consider getting one.
You're missing the most important point. Is there an easy platinum trophy attached to Buddy Index? If there is, then of course I'm getting a Buddy Index, right? And Kevin raises a great point of, I do think that there's a great case for having a control group and then like go, like we're going to do one where I'm super nice to it and then we send home with one with Kevin and Kevin just tortures it. And then we bring them in every day and interview them and see what they think. Who, you know, how are they feeling? You know, who's having a great time? Who wants to run away? And that's how we do it. We pair them against each other that way. As a consumer, I wouldn't just buy one, no. As a YouTuber, as somebody who wants to talk about on my podcast, sure.
Yeah, though that's my thing is like, I think it would be great content to get one of these things and talk about it and like and do the Kevin thing and have like Greg treat it right. And I'll just like throw it against the wall in my room and we compare and contrast like the different reactions of it. But as a general consumer, then like, yeah, like I think Greg's spot on in terms of saying that like this is a thing that is likely going to be marketed toward children. And so it's I wouldn't get it from the stance of I'm not a child, and I wouldn't like I'm not really the market for a Teddy Ruxpin or a Tamagotchi thing. Like that's not me. But
what's gonna be funny is when we're all this whole thing is like this, that, and the other, and we're such video game people about it. And when it does actually come out and it is in a cute form and it is the next giant fucking thing, like every kid wants this thing to have it to talk to it, and they are excited that they have to take care of it in the same way I'm excited I have to take care of my villagers in Animal Crossing.
Because in terms of whether or not it'll sell to kids, like
kids are dumb. They'll buy anything.
Yeah,
that's remember Pogs? We all bought Pogs.
I don't doubt it. Like if this thing, if they market it well enough and advertise it and make it look cute and make it look like a thing that kids will, like, make it look like Portillo. Kids will want that. Like kids will for sure. Like I think
Sony, if you want to hit me up right now, we will gladly talk about putting Portillo as the likeness for this thing. Oh man, Blessing crashed on my end. Did he crash on your end, Kevin? Okay, there he is. He's back. Kind of.
Hello. Can you guys hear me? Can you guys see me?
I hear you.
Yep. Okay. I was gonna add. No. Wait.
Yeah. No. I see you. Oh, I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, we can see you.
So, Kevin, I was gonna ask, and maybe, and I guess it's me then, because this is the second time where I've seen Greg's video go like robotic-y and staticky, and then like freeze up. But I didn't know if that was a me thing. It's probably a me thing.
No, I think it's fine.
Okay, it's fine on your end.
Wow. I mean, I'm not right, looking sweet. Directly at him, but.
Well, good. Also his voice also like basically his voice has been good for me. Okay, so that case, if I ever just like pause and stare into the sun, it's because things are not going well on my side in terms of. Just as a heads up.
Yeah, you
story
did a
number
full,
two.
Hold on. You did a full freeze over there. And secondly, can I insert a breaking news story for you?
Go for it.
I'm reading from TVLine.com, where Rebecca Inanucci says, San Diego Comic-Con canceled for the first time in 50-year history. San Diego Comic-Con, the largest fan convention in the United States, has officially been canceled amid concerns about the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. Comic-Con International announced Friday. The cancellation marks the first time in SDCC's 50-year history that the event will not take place. The event will instead resume at the San Diego Convention Center from July 22nd to the 25th of 2021. SDCC also announced that individuals who purchased badges for Comic-Con 2020 will have the option to request a refund or transfer their badges to Comic-Con 2021. All 2020 badge holders will receive an email within the next week with instructions on how to request a refund. Comic-Con's official hotel affiliate, On Peak, will be canceling all hotel reservations and refunding all deposits made through them. Quote, extraordinary times require extraordinary measures, and while we are saddened to take this action, we know this is the right decision, said an SDCC spokesperson. We eagerly look forward to the time when we can all meet again and share the community we all love and enjoy. The organization has also canceled a fan convention, WonderCon, after initially postponing it in March. The next WonderCon will be March 26th through the 28th, 2021.
He's gone. Blessing's gone.
Oh, well. It was pretty great that I took over the show. Hey, everybody, it's me.
Yeah,
it worked out really Greg good. Miller. You know what I mean?
This crazy Comic-Con's gone, huh?
Yeah. I mean, not unexpected, right? It goes back to what is actually interesting as I grab my pen, Kevin, to talk to you a little bit about this. You know what I mean? It's interesting that, yes, Comic-Con's canceled, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Not unexpected in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And then if you remember, this week I've been talking about that article that where the, what was it, University of Pennsylvania, kindoffunny.com/wrongphiladelphia, saying that he thought all live events will be canceled through fall 2021, right? That we wouldn't get anything back till then. When I tweeted that out, because that's what we led with on Games Daily the other day, one of the guys who is from ReadPop and organizes the PAXs responded to it with that Nathan Fillion gif of him going like that, like he wanted to argue but didn't want to argue, and I didn't know how to read that. Like, wait, do you think you're going to still do PAXs? Is PAX happening this year still, or is it not happening? And then that was interesting. I thought that that's how that went.
One move that I think is
filling time because I've unplugged my headphones and I can't hear anything anybody says.
Oh, no worries, no worries.
Back to you, Kevin.
I was going to say one move that's interesting is them being like, hey, anyone that wants it, you can, your pass is good for next year's. You've already paid for, or we can return your money. That seems smart in the sense that, like, if people have their pass, they're more likely to go to something. Yeah, so,
exactly. They've already put that money in there, right?
Right. So it's one of those things where if maybe next year the world's back to normal, but people are still scared of going to these public things. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, well, I already have my pass. Might as well, you know, go. You know, I think that's a smart move.
Not to mention that, you know, one of the big things about getting a Comic-Con pass is waiting in that virtual queue, is trying to get it in. They sell out in, what, like 10 minutes or whatever it is. Like, the fact that you're taken care of through next year is a nice move as well.
Now, my internet's taking a dump, but did I miss that? Are people who got their passes for San Diego Comic-Con this year, are they then automatically entered into the next year? Is that what's
correct.
Going
on? You can gotcha. Get a refund, or you can roll it over to 2021.
Gotcha. Well, dang. It's wild.
Well, dang, crazy times we live in. Wow.
Story number two. Nintendo stock price hits 52-week high amid Switch shortages. This is pulled from James O'Connor at GameSpot. Nintendo stock price has just hit a 52-week high, showing the company's current financial strength despite the fact that it's very hard to buy a Switch right now. As tweeted by Nico Partner senior analyst Daniel Amad, Nintendo stock price is currently at the highest it's ever been, or highest it's been over the last 52 weeks, not that it's ever been. In fact, the stock price is as high as it was in March 2018, which was a previous record price for the Switch era of the company. It peaked on April 16th, 2020 at 47,100 yen. That's approximately $437. The enormous success of Animal Crossing New Horizons is credited as a major reason for the stock rise. The game has been a sales sensation and one of the best-selling games on the console. While shipments of the console have been suspended in Japan and its handheld mode might seem less important now that everyone is stuck indoors, it has remained extremely popular. Animal Crossing New Horizons is not the only big recent success on Switch, as Ring Fit Adventure has also seen stock shortages. Nintendo is expected to give an overview of recent business in its next earnings report on May 7th, 2020, which should give us some further insight into how the Switch and Animal Crossing are performing. Now, Greg, we had a conversation a few weeks ago when Animal Crossing first came out, or was first releasing, about where we think Nintendo, like, first-party game sales would net out. What we would think the best-selling games would be on Switch when things would shake out. And we're a little bit away from seeing, like, how the actual, like, numbers are for Animal Crossing.
Yeah, not far away now, right, if they're going to come out and give this during their next business meeting.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, like, if we're still in the same place as we were. Because I had it going, like, let's see. So, for context, right? At number one, we're talking about Switch software sales. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is number one at almost 23 million. And this was reported at the end of December 2019. So, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, number one. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is number two. Super Mario Odyssey is number three, and that's at 16.59 million units. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is at number four, and then Pokemon Sword and Shield was at number five by the end of December 2019. I had Animal Crossing being under that, like being correct. Likely number six.
Your original thing was putting it above Let's Go Pikachu, so putting it number six.
Yes, yeah, with the idea that Pokemon Sword and Shield is going to rise and likely course, become the top-selling game.
You figure, yeah, to bring that out again, right, it's a little over 16 million, and it's at the time of this reporting, right, this was based on a month and 15 days. It sold 16.06 million, so yeah, that number's increased.
Yeah. Do you think it outsells Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey at this point? Because I'm starting to get there.
Yeah. I think it's possible, which is crazy to say. And that's the thing is, like, you start to get into this crazy talk. But we made that prediction when it was on launch day or whatever, review day, like when we were what we were seeing. And since then, the way it has taken over, and granted, it's definitely calmed down, but the way it has taken over in our ecosystem of everybody buying it, people playing it for the first time. People I saw, you know, a week later, finally, you know, thinking, all right, fine, I got a paycheck, I'm going to pick up Animal Crossing and try it. The amount of people who've written in saying it was their first Animal Crossing, they want to know what it was all about. And then beyond even what we're doing, beyond what we're seeing with our audience, right, in our, you know, ecosystem of gaming press people, you know, Jen and Lucy are obsessed with this burgeoning platform I've never heard of called TikTok. And Animal Crossing was all over fucking TikTok. And like really? Everywhere. Yes, there was TikTok memes all over the place about it. So it's showing to me, at least casually and obviously completely unscientifically, that it's crossing over outside of just, you know, hardcore gamers. It is into a thing of just the kids are actually playing it, let alone that it dropped not the perfect time for any of us, but the perfect time for that kind of game, right? To be dropped in the middle of a pandemic when you can't leave and you want to socialize, but you can't. And the amount of, I saw, I think it was Patricia Wright wrote an article about there being dates now. People are taking people on Tinder dates inside of Animal Crossing and all the, like, it's really crazy the way people are using it to actually see each other and hang out with each other.
Yeah, it really was the leading game, like, to come out of the pandemic, right? Like, it coming out and being one of the, I know it came out the same day as Doom Eternal, but I think Animal Crossing being what Animal Crossing is, kind of came out and is kind of a, like, if there was an official video game of the pandemic, it would be Animal Crossing, which is, like, a weird sentence to say, but I think it has helped so many people kind of have that escape, but then also it is the perfect game for if you just have a lot of time, if you just want to kill time, if you just want to, like, hang out with friends, right? Yeah. Or just, like, have something to do to chip away at, like, Animal Crossing is perfect for that.
Yeah, so, like, Mike having his hide-and-seek competitions. Pandemus built us a obstacle a course thing we never actually did because we've just been so busy. It's going crazy. And, yes, by the way, it was Patricia Patricia Hernandez at Polygon. There it is. Did an article just yesterday called Animal Crossing Fans Are Using Their Games for Tinder Dates. Actually, 2 days ago, my watch failed me on that one. So, yeah, there's a like, that's the thing is, like, not only is it out there and not only is it super popular, and even Jeff Grubb, if you caught this week, wrote an article for GamesBeat that was like, here's the problems Animal Crossing has right now kind of thing, right? Or why it's not living up to what it did at launch. And he did a tweet yesterday and he's like, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he's like, if you want your article to do well in terms of, like, year over year numbers or, like, what the best articles of the year are, he's like, have Chrissy Teigen retweet it. And I was like, what? And I popped over to Chrissy Teigen's thing, and sure as shit, she quote tweeted it. It was like, this is what I'm saying. These are my exact problems. And it was like, holy shit. And, like, so many people
that's funny
from her ecosystem that are playing that game that don't usually play every game like we're talking about, right, come in. And I think, to your point, and again, apples and oranges to an extent. You talk about, yeah, Doom Eternal launched that same day, but nobody's, and not nobody's talking about Doom. Everybody's talking about Doom. Doom's a great game, but Doom had the normal conversation cycle. Doom's great. Yeah. Here are the reviews. Everybody likes it. People played it. They beat it, and they're on to something else. Whereas Animal Crossing, to this day, Goldfarb literally texts me every day to ask if I have something in the shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even when like, Jen's too busy to play it during the day, she sees me turn it on, and she goes, wait, what's in your shop today? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, even Final Fantasy VII Remake is a game that just came out, and it's not, like, people are talking about Final Fantasy VII Remake. People love it and all that stuff, but the conversation around it doesn't seem any different from if it released outside of a pandemic. Like, if it released in normal conditions, I would have expected this same Final Fantasy VII Remake conversation to be happening the way it is, in a way where Animal Crossing seems to just be way more resonant right now. And like the conversation, like when we look at the best-selling Nintendo Switch games, right? Like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe being number one, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate being number two at the time of these numbers were reported, right? Like, if I compare the conversation to Super Smash Bros., for example, like I feel like the conversation is comparable. Like, it's apples and oranges for sure, right? Sure. Animal Crossing seems to have broken through in a way that is more even universal than Smash Bros. Like, Smash Bros. Is a game that means a lot to Nintendo fans, means a lot for people in the Smash Brothers community and fighting game fans. And it is a game that, like, you expect to sell incredibly well because of the representation in Super Smash Brothers, right? It having so many games in it from Final Fantasy and Animal Crossing and Mario and Pokemon and all the different big franchises that we associate either with Nintendo or not with Nintendo. And so, go for it.
No, you go.
So I was going to say, like, Animal Crossing, the conversation with Animal Crossing, it seems bigger, even though I don't know how much conversation can actually translate to sales. But I think in this case, like, no matter where Animal Crossing kind of nets out by the end of it, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see it like land at that number, like, two or three spot when it's all said and done.
What I don't think is coincidence, and granted, there are many reasons I think this is the case, but both number one and number two in this list, Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers, are multiplayer games. They are experiences you share with other people. Again, which I think is the traditional power of the Switch we always talk about, of having it on a plane, somebody else does too, going on a family road trip, everybody can play together and do whatever. I think that also is true for Animal Crossing, even though it's a different kind of multiplayer. It's not that competitive multiplayer. Online definitely needs to be reworked. But you look at somebody like Gary Whitta, right, who not only bought the third Switch for the house, but bought three copies of that game. Like, that exists. You know, you're talking about in a house right now, like, maybe, you know, it's the thing is, like, there's three Switches in this house and there's three Animal Crossings in this house, right? Like, it is a game you're buying in multiples. It is a game that everybody wants to play. It is a game that where I can sit there and listen to you, Blessing, talk about how great Doom Eternal is, and I totally get it, right? Or even to bring into this Nintendo thing, so, you know, people hear me talk about Mario and how much I love that and think that should have been the game of the year that year, or other people sitting there going, no, Zelda was the right choice, it's an amazing game. You can still hear those conversations, understand those games are great, and go, yeah, but they're not really my kind of games. I fall out of those kind of games. Whereas a game like Kart, Smash, and Animal Crossing, you are keeping up with the Joneses. You are visiting other people's islands and seeing what they're doing. It is, man, I really just want a shovel. Oh, well, I already have the shovel. I can come give you a shovel. Oh my God, thank you so much. Like, there is a multiplayer component to it. Then on top of that, you layer in this, that it launched when we all had to social distance and be on lockdown. And so it is the way to get together and share. I know of people, like I said, having dates in there. I know of people, like, roping it into just hanging out with their friends, like you were talking about. Like, there's so much cool shit going on in there all the time that it is kind of the perfect storm for that game right now,
for sure. Yeah, and in essence, like we talk about, like, multiplayer games are the big Nintendo multiplayer games are gonna outsell the big Nintendo single player games, as we see in this sales listing. But,
and it's similar to what you brought up too, of like, you know, Mario Kart has so many different characters in it, Super Smash has so many different characters in it. It's easier for those games to get a foothold of. If you look at Breath of the Wild, you're like, well, I'm not a Zelda guy. That's fine. If you look at Mario guy, I'm not a Mario guy, but you look at Kart, you look at Smash, and it's like, well, I am.
Yeah, there's somebody in here for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, yeah, I'm a Joker guy, or I'm a
Zelda and Mario are in Kart, so it's like whatever. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but Animal Crossing, I feel like in spirit is like it fills both sides, right, of being both like a single player sensation, but also a multiplayer sensation, right? One, because it is literally multiplayer, but two, because I think a big part of Animal Crossing success right now is the conversation being had around it, and is people like looking for other people's turn up prices and all these things I see on Twitter.
I still see three or four of those tweets every time I turn on my Twitter.
Yeah. Story number three. Konami indefinitely delays PES Euro 2020 DLC and cancels Boxed Edition. I'm pulling from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz, who writes, Konami and the developers of eFootball, Pro Evolution Soccer, which it, I guess it's just called PES now? Do they not? I guess that PES is the is just like the abbreviated name. I don't know if they say it out, but eFootball PES
you know what it means.
Yeah, I know what it means. Have said the upcoming DLC that ties in with the Euro 2020 tournament has been postponed. In a statement released via Twitter, the publisher said the free update was, quote, delayed until further notice due to the ongoing impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. The most obvious factor is the UEFA Euro 2020 tournament itself has been also postponed. But Konami notes that with the state of emergency recently declared in Japan, quote, the original April 30th release date for the DLC is no longer possible, end quote. The company has canceled plans for a physical edition of eFootball PES 2020 that would be released in time for the tournament. The new box edition would still have required a download to access the Euro 2020 content, but would have sported a redesigned cover with the Euro 2020 or with the Euro Cup featured prominently. While this edition will no longer be released, Konami re-emphasized that anyone who purchases PES 2020 going forward or already owns it will receive the Euro 2020 content for free as and when it eventually releases. Greg, we haven't talked too much about how like sports games are affected by COVID-19 and the pandemic. I'm curious, like in this fall, right, when like new versions of games are to come out. Like, I wonder, like, when NBA 2K 2021 is released, like, I wonder how that then gets changed, right? Because you don't
what
have,
about
like...
Madden, right? Well, I guess we're or like too far ahead on that one. No, but maybe football's back by then. I doubt it, but maybe.
We'll see. But, like basketball, we know the season's canceled, right? Like, how does that then reflect on the game? Because that's how the basketball games usually have, like, their updates, right? They look back at the season and get player stats from that, get all the updates from new players, do all that stuff.
Just have everybody's always like it's a roster update, so now it's just like, all right, well, these people aren't playing anymore.
Yeah, like who's
they aged out over this year.
Who's on the cover? Like, how do you figure that out? Do you just have like the runner up from the last year's cover, like be the one? Like,
yeah,
I'm curious on how that all shakes out. But yeah, as an example,
that's boom. You raise an interesting point that I think that's one of the more unknown things right now that I would love to see a story on is like, yeah, what are, you know, like even the MLB The Show team, like their game's out obviously, but as they get ready for what traditionally would be the next year, and what it's kind of funny.com/wrong, it's not next year, it's the year after that that they're no longer exclusive and on multiple platforms, or is it next year that they're on multiple platforms? Doesn't matter. They're obviously working on this game, but what are you working on? Is it just updating features for things? Is it just, you know, dreaming and all the things you've cut over the years? Is it just business as usual? Is it a hold? Is it a whatever? How are you sourcing and figuring out who new players would be? How are you managing assets? Like, I don't know. I'd love to know.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that all shakes out. Story number four. PS Now is currently 25% off for new subscribers. I'm pulling this from James Picard at Eurogamer, who writes, Sony is currently discounting 12-month PS Now subscriptions by 25% for new subscribers. It's currently on offer until the end of the month directly through the PSN store for £37.49, because this is a Eurogamer article. You can even save yourself a few extra quid if you pick up £40 PSN credit from Shopto for £33.85 and use that to pay for it. And I don't know if this is a thing that's exclusive to Europe or if this is worldwide or if people in North America can take advantage of that. That might be a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong thing if you want to see if you can get 25% off as a new subscriber for PS Now. But the reason why I wanted to include this in news and not just in like deal of the day or anything is because in this same article they continue with the next quote. What is PS Now though? Well, for a while, PlayStation Now has been Sony's somewhat forgotten attempt at breaking into the cloud gaming space. Like many similar services, a lackluster library and performance dependent on a super fast internet connection for quality streaming meant it was largely ignored. However, changes over the last year or so have made the service massively more appealing, end quote. And that's from the article. Robbie Robb wrote in with a question that deals with PS Now, which I think is going to be an interesting conversation starter. Ooh. Hello, Blessing and Greg. I recently started playing PlayStation games, though not with a PlayStation or emulation, but with PlayStation Now on my PC. I've had a chance now to use the major cloud gaming services, and although PlayStation Now is fun, it lacks in features, even though it has been around the longest. My question is this. What features would you add to PS Now to improve the service? Personally, I would add phone support as well as rebindable button support for PC. Greg,
yeah,
we have a PlayStation podcast.
We do. I love you. We live and breathe
PlayStation, you and I both.
Yeah.
PS Now, what can it do to improve?
It's stuff that I think is apples and oranges in a way, right? Where Robbie Rob's talking about adding phone support, right? Of course, that's the thing. But in the same breath, I want to see the ability to download download PS3 games, right? This is what we were talking about with when we did Peace Walker at the beginning of the year on PS I Love You. It was like such a, not hassle, but like you start using the PS3 and you're like, oh my God, there's so many hoops to jump through to make this thing go the right way. And it was like, oh, it's on PS Now and download. And it's like, oh, right, I can't download. I can only stream this game. And you stream it and there's just enough latency to make it not be the way I'd want to play this thing. So, I mean, it's that, but then it's also the fact that they need to show and talk about why this is they need to improve this for people like Robbie Rob and then re-roll it out to everybody. Because it is that thing of, I know jack shit about PS Now. Yes, I host a PlayStation podcast. Yes, I have covered PlayStation my entire career. When they launched PlayStation Now, I got my code to review it, jumped in and played some stuff, and I was like, this is awful. And like so many other people, I walked away and never came back. And so then we hear these stories from people that are using it here, using it there, and it is better, it is this. But when I go through and I want to use it for something very specific, it's not there. When I go through and it's like, oh, they're adding God of War or Spider-Man, and then they're cycling those out or whatever, it's like, okay, cool, like, again, Xbox Game Pass is destroying you in this market in terms of making this a product they want that people are talking about and excited about. No one's excited about PS Now, it seems.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, when I look at PS Now and the features of it, like on paper, it seems like it should be doing well to me, right? Like they recently, and I'm looking at a PS blog post from October 2019 where they talk about some of the changes coming to PS Now, right? And it leads off by saying that God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, Infamous Second Son, and Uncharted 4, Thieves End are coming to PS Now. And they say in the blog post, these games will be available starting October 1st until January 2nd, 2020. And so I don't know if those games are still available or not.
That's
or
what I'm talking about. I know for a fact they cycle them out, so it's not the same.
Okay.
So it's like, gotcha. Sorry, go ahead. You keep going on your point.
Well, yeah, but like the fact that they're not there anymore, like that's like, I mean, that's definitely an issue. But then looking at the pricing, right? Like they changed the pricing in October, right? And then they lowered it from it's $10 monthly now or $60 yearly, right? Where it was $20 monthly or $100 yearly, which is like good competitive pricing. Them allowing you to download PS4 games, even though I feel like that should extend to PS3 games and other games are on the service.
And I know that's a tech issue, and I know that's a whole bunch of stuff before people start writing into you wrong. I'm aware of why they can't, but it's also then, it's just not competitive in the way that Game Pass is. And I understand that, again, PlayStation doesn't need to do it that way, but it's in the same thing of just, I can't get excited for this because even the games they're adding are old games that don't, you know, it's like, cool, why does that matter? And I know that I'm in a very privileged position that I review and get to play everything right away. But it's just that idea of you're cycling in these things and making it go. And then it's also on PC, but it's also not, nobody seems to care. And then remote plays this thing, but remote plays not, doesn't work as great as it should either. And it's like, Sony has all these half steps that I think they need to, for PlayStation 5, really commit to and say if they want, it's either, I want them either to fucking be all in on this stuff and here's why it matters and here's how we revamped it and it runs even better. You know what I mean? Like get out there and actually compete with fucking Stadia and xCloud and say, no, no, no. This is how we're making this shit matter. Or I don't want them to do it. I want them to step back and be like, no, this is what we are. This is our lane. But I say all this, and again, I'm talking from this privileged, super enthusiast, see everything, play everything mentality. When I always bring this up, and I know I got it wrong before, not wrong, but I've misconstrued it before. That it is basically, to leave it in line, PlayStation Now makes the money is successful. It isn't a sexy. I don't think it's a sexy bullet point. I don't think it's a big feather in their cap. But PlayStation considers this a success. So why fuck with it if it's working the way they want it to?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely like a very good point, is the fact that they don't necessarily have the need to mess with it or the need to like really blow it out.
Yeah,
and I'm hearing like a beeping in my house.
Yeah, that's mine. Sorry, the beeps are on my end.
Oh, they're on your end. Okay,
I think so. Hold on, I'm gonna mute myself, and you tell me if you hear it. That's already gone. Nope. I think it's a fire alarm next door. Oh, there it is.
I'm still hearing it. Hold on, let me take off my headphones. No, it's on my side. Hold on, let me check the kitchen real quick.
Everybody, Blessing's house might be on fire, and he is only wearing swim trunks.
You think my sister's all right?
You know what, Kev?
Yeah.
I don't. I think she's on fire. I think
Yeah. I really hope she's on fire. You'd feel like an idiot.
My childhood neighborhood burned down.
That's a weird dream.
All right. So what it was somebody was making toast and they forgot. and so the fire alarm is going off.
Gotcha.
And it's pretty smoky out there. But yeah, I forgot what we were in the middle of talking about. PS Now, prices.
Blessing, that was your one chance to come back in with like a cloth covering, just being like, there's a fire! There's a fire!
Get out! We're trapped!
I don't want to worry people, but I forgot I was
PlayStation Now is where you're either going on about and
PlayStation
Now. It's a thing that continues to exist.
Isn't
sexy.
Yeah, I was saying it does fine for them. They don't necessarily need to like to mess with it. But it feels like when I look at PS Now and its features and all that stuff right now, right? It feels like they look. I know it was the first to come out of its kind. It was like the first, if I'm not counting like on live, right? If I'm talking about the current generation,
sure.
Right? Them having a subscription service to where you can get video games, but then also, having it being
Blessing,
like
it's going off again.
I know. Carol's got it.
Where your house is still on fire, that the toast is burning down the entire house.
What if we just kept doing this episode, but then like
you
the
see
fire
the smoke pouring in behind you.
Yeah, you see my like my door start to like burn down. They just continue to ignore it. But you look at what they have, in a way, it feels like Sony is like, it feels like they looked at Xbox Game Pass and then looked at Stadia and they're like, let's just have the best of both worlds, but then like didn't commit to either. I know that that's not how it happened because it came out before both of those, but it feels like a weird meeting in the middle place to where, yeah, what you're saying, right, for them to commit to like having like a vision and then go hard with that would be awesome to see. Like them being like, hey, let's just go all the way Xbox Game Pass route and just really commit to having a library that is going to be dope. Whether or not you want to put your first party games on there, I understand either way because your first party games are valuable to you. But like have something that feels tantalizing, have something that really sells it, have an amazing library on there, and then don't pull off games like Grand Theft Auto 5 and God of War a few months after having them on there. Or go the other route and just like commit all the way to streaming. But in that case, like put it on phone. Like I don't understand why it's not on phone, because I know it was on like the Sony phones at one point.
Yeah. One of the things I was trying to bring up earlier and struggling with was this Brendan Sinclair GamesIndustry.biz article, November 2018. PlayStation Now brought in $143 million last quarter. There's been some speculation about Netflix-style gaming subscription services as the future of the industry, but they're making a considerable impact on the present as well. According to a new report from industry research group SuperData, the leading subscription services combined to bring in about $273 million in revenue during the third quarter of the year. The group determined that most of the revenue, 52%, was accounted for Sony's PlayStation Now service, which it said brought in $143 million for the quarter. EA's collection of, they have EA, they have Origin, they have all this stuff. Xbox Game Pass brought up the rear of the major offerings. This was $41 million. Again, this is 2018. You're talking about revenue, you're talking about price cuts, you're talking about success. It's not exactly like, hey, blah, 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 but I'm pointing out the fact that PlayStation Now does well, even though I don't think we give it the time of day. Because even with Game Pass as well, I think there is enthusiast press, I guess, right, and podcasts and everything else. Game Pass is just sexy in the way that, hey, they're putting all their first-party games out. Hey, here's seven new games they're announcing coming to it, where PlayStation Now is just so much quieter about that. And I imagine that's because PlayStation Now is built for, I guess, a budgeted gamer, you know what I mean? Somebody who wants to put the $60 in for the year and then get whatever they get versus the PlayStation. That's great for PlayStation. They don't care. That can go quietly. PlayStation's more amped about selling everybody these $60 games once a month
for
or whatever
sure.
It's going to be.
Yeah. Where on the Xbox side, it does feel like they would like everybody to have Game Pass in a
sense.
And
I think
like,
that's what when you come into revenue again, where Xbox is giving it away for a dollar or whatever, just trying to get you in and get you hooked and get you to understand what this is so that when they do whatever they're going to do with Xbox Series X, they'll be ready to go.
Yeah. If you look at, we'll transition in a second, but like if you look at the Xbox Game Pass Twitter account, like they're super active in terms of how, like, it seems like they're treating that as its own brand. And want people to kind of see that as his own thing. Like Xbox Game Pass has his own voice, it has his own humor. Like they're a specific brand within Xbox, in a way that feels like they want everybody to have all eyes on it. In the way that versus PlayStation, where PS Now feels like it is like its own I guess, branch of PSN, or you
want to. And again, I think it's an interesting, you know, conversation to go around and around on, right? Because I'm like, I want to make it, I want them to make it sexy. I want them to commit. And PlayStation, again, is probably just like, it's fine. It does, it's fine. It's like legitimately, whenever we talk about how PlayStation has, in the latter half of the PlayStation 4, treated indies, they're just like, they're fine. We don't need to promote them. We don't need to put them on stage. We don't need to put them in presentations outside of an occasional state of play. They're doing fine on their own, right? It's the same argument for PlayStation Now of, like, I don't think, you know, you hear enough about it or hear the stuff about it, and I don't have any experience with it. And to the same, to, for the, you know, full transparency, of course, I don't have any experience with Game Pass either, right? Like, it's the occasional, I don't even remember last game. I have played stuff on it. Void Bastards, for sure. That game from Skybound.
It was like Outer Wilds. Gears 5 came out on Game Pass. Yeah.
And so it's like that thing Outer Worlds. Getting on there and downloading it and be ready to go. I'm like, all right, cool, this is it. But PlayStation Now, yeah, I'm not kicking the tires on ever. But I'm not kicking tires on Game Pass either. And then xCloud, I'm waiting for the update. Beyond what I've played of xCloud, I'm waiting for the update of letting my own Xbox library be there.
I'm very curious to see what the future of PS Now and Game Pass and xCloud and all the different streaming and subscription services are. But that future is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
I'm so distracted by the potential fire that's happening in my house.
The thing was stopped. You're fine.
Yeah, you're probably gonna live.
It went twice.
Blessing, let's take this moment to really live and get on that desk. Just stand on that desk.
I guess if I'm gonna go, I might as well go out.
Could be the last time you ever get to do it. Could be the last time you ever get to do it.
Before I read what's out today, let me tell you about our sponsor. If you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed any hair, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. ForHims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Kind of Funny's own Nick and Andy can attest that they're looking and feeling great due to Hims hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. I know Andy talks about it. I sit across from Andy when we're at the office. And Andy, man, every time I see him, he just looks better and better. You know what I mean, Greg?
I know. You're preaching to the choir over here.
Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. For Hims connects you to real doctors online, which can save you hours, completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Right now, our listeners can get started with their first month free. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription requires an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. This offer is valid only if prescribed. 3-month minimum subscription. Additional restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's forhims.com/gamesdaily. We're also brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this: if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean. The official floss dispenser comes with a pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelt GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Out today, we got Cryo Gear for Xbox One and PC, Freak Out Calamity TV show for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Is that the one we talked about on PSN?
Yeah, that's my PSN game of the week. I just bought it while you were talking.
Oh, man. Blind Men, which is my PSN game of the week, is out today for PS4 and Switch. Sinker is out for Xbox One. A Fold Apart is out for Switch and Apple Arcade. And I've heard good things about A Fold Apart.
That was the one, that looked so stunning when we saw it at a, I guess it would have been a Nindies probably presentation or whatever. I have it on my Switch. I haven't had a chance to boot it up yet.
Hyper Jam is out for Switch. Rover Wars is out for Switch. Purrs in Heaven is out for Switch. Theme Park Simulator is out for Switch. Bad Lads is out for PC. Devious Dungeon 2 for PC. Super Forklift 3000 for PC. Dogs of Wall Street for PC. No One Lives Under the Lighthouse for PC. Hero of the Kingdom, The Lost Tales 1 for PC and Mac. Mushroom Cats 2 for PC.
Love Mushroom Cats.
Love Mushroom Cats. World War II Partisanin for PC and Mac. Beyond Blue is out today for Apple Arcade. And then today, Corona Relief Done Quick, that is CRDQ, begins. A speedrunning marathon hosted by Games Done Quick in efforts to help those in need during the global COVID-19 pandemic. CRDQ is an online-only event kicking off today at 12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and running through April 19th, 2020 on the official Games Done Quick Twitch channel. And then new days for you, Streets of Rage 4 will release on April 30th on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Now it's time for Reader Mail. Remember, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get your question read on the show, just like Kebabs did. Kebabs writes in and asks, my question today is simple. Which game do you think will be more valuable, PT or Cooking Mama Cookstar?
I'm going to say PT.
This is an interesting one because PT is like not a box game that you can get.
If you're going to sell it, you got to sell it to the PlayStation 4 and the account, right?
Yeah. And so like I like the idea of we're comparing a PS4 game that is that you have to sell on the PS4 to, let's say, a Switch game that I imagine. I don't know what the situation is with the Switch version of Kicking Mama if you delete it. Like, I wonder if you're able to re-download it, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, because that's not a thing question. I don't think anybody's really talked about.
Once you buy the license, I think you have to be able
I think there's some like crazy back end way to bring it back if you've deleted it.
For PT?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. I've seen people bring that up. I don't know. The last time I saw that though was a few years ago, so I don't know if that's still a thing or if Konami's actively fighting against people downloading PT. I don't assume they are. But yeah, I'd probably also say PT based on the fact that it is like one, it's stranded on PS4s, and so like at a certain point, like the last PS4 that's alive with PT is gonna break, and PT will just be no more in theory, right? Unless like do the dark web thing that Kevin's talking about.
Yeah.
Whereas Cooking Mama Cookstar, like you do have digital versions. I imagine since you bought the game, they are obligated to let you re-download it if you get a new Switch or delete your game. That seems like a thing they would have to do, but then also there are like boxed copies out there, so it's just more prevalent despite Cooking Mama Cookstar being...
That's the porno name for it.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised I haven't seen that one pop
Jesus
up yet.
Milk Mommy, yeah, Cockstar.
That's really good. But yeah, like despite Cooking Mama Cookstar being less popular, which in theory would probably make it more rare in some cases, I think that's probably not the case here. I think, yeah, PT is probably going to be, in quotes, like the more valuable
game.
People
just care more about PT. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, what a cool story, what a cool game, what a crazy story involving Norman Reedus and Guillermo del Toro and fucking Hideo Kojima and this breakup with Konami. And the Cooking Mama Cookstar is always going to be this like, oh, this is a weird argument over a shitty game. Great.
Well, it's interesting how those things shake out sometimes because, like, I think history has had it so that like the less popular game usually ends up being the more rare, which ends up being the more popular or not popular, more valuable in some cases. Yeah. Like, I think there was, and I'm hesitant to bring up examples because I am definitely not like super educated on the rarity of like old games. But I know there was like an Olympic game on the NES that was like super rare.
Right?
Track and field, track and field is what I think I'm
but like
of.
It was super rare because it was like a special edition that was only made for a competition.
Oh yeah, that's what it
was. Like four of them, maybe one of them.
It was like a Nintendo World Championship kind of thing, and so there weren't that many made. That was super valuable because it was super rare, which tends to happen also with games that are like that just don't get printed much because they're bad. But yeah, in this example, PT versus Cooking Mama Cookstar, I'll venture to say that it's going to be PT.
Agreed.
Now it's time to squat up. Joven writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, with a squat up on Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. Joven writes, "Hey y'all, looking for some cool new people to play a variety of games with. I own all three consoles, though I mainly play on Xbox, and I'm dying to jump back into Rainbow Six. I also play Warzone and a bunch of other stuff as well. On Switch, I'm looking for people for Animal Crossing, as well as a few other games like Pokemon and maybe Smash, though I'm not great at it. My PS4 is mostly for the amazing exclusives they have, but feel free to add me over there too. I'm a home daily truck driver, so my playtimes are usually Monday through Friday around 11:30 p.m. to 2-ish a.m. Eastern time, and random on the weekends. Thanks, Kinda Funny Crew, for all your entertaining content and helping me get through my mostly boring work day." You can add Joven on Xbox One or PS4 through the username Jovie84. That's J-O-V-I-E 84. And then his Switch, or their Switch friend code is 6060-9493-7527, and that's in the YouTube description if you want to look that up. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you get to write in and let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong. Nick Scarpino writes in, and I doubt that that's the real Nick Scarpino.
No way, he's not Nick Scarpino watches
any of the game content. But they write in and say, "Greg, you should show us the pants you're wearing," which is a good point. We never confirmed that Greg is actually wearing pants.
I mean, do we really need to confirm that I'm wearing pants? I told you that you have to dress up like you're going to church. You said I'm going to wear swim trunks. That's what you.
But I also have on a tie. And like if I didn't forget my water bottle, and if there wasn't a fire going on in my home,
water. You know, I didn't forget my water bottle, but you want to see him?
Yeah, I want to see him. Oh, he did it.
Where were you?
He did it. I'm actually shocked. I didn't think you would do it.
This will be reflected. Wow. This will be reflected in your paycheck this month.
Oh no, I get it though. Nailboss, right?
I get it though.
And said, "The statement regarding no events till fall 2021 was from Zeke Emanuel, the director of Healthcare Transformation Institute at University of Pennsylvania," which I don't remember referencing that, but
I did. I think it might have actually been when you went dead and we were talking about Comic-Con. I was like, what university is from? Thank you very much.
Nail Bodges says, 2021 will see MLB The Show being multi-platform. Nail Bodges also says, "PS Now was never available on Sony phones. It was available on PS3, PS Vita, PS TV, Sony Bravia televisions, Samsung televisions, and Sony Blu-ray players. However, support for these was ended in early 2017. I think I probably had Sony Bravia in mind because I was thinking there was like a Sony phone or something. Let's see here. Charles Jacobson says, "Breaking, the original voice actor of Leon Kennedy in RE2, Paul Haddad, dies at 56. Hmm. Rest in peace."
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. And then Nail Abolish writes in with some more further context about how you can re-download PT, but I'm not going to read it on this show because I ain't a criminal. You know, I follow the rules. Konami doesn't want to have PT.
We had a question about it, right? He says, once you delete it, you can't re-download it any other way. There's only one way using this proxy server to re-download it, and if you haven't downloaded, you're fucked.
Boom.
Like, if you never redeemed it.
It's Friday, which means this is your last episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily for the week. Next week's hosts are as follows. Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta for Witta Wednesday. Thursday, it's Greg and me. And then Friday, you're back again with me and Greg. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about as my house catches on fire. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily. I'm not even going to try the handshake this time.
Nah, no, it's not worth it.
Because every time I'm just like,